Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I assume this is cable, just because when I don't know what it is.
Is that correct, Bob Rowe?
It's not. It's another great 80s movie. You represent it very rarely.
Initials, please.
O-T.
O-T. O-T. O-T.
Old Timmy. The movie about old Timmy over here.
O-T. How about the second letter of the first word?
V.
O-V. Over time.
No.
O-V. Oh, how about the third letter of that first word?
There's three words, though. The middle is the. So
over the top?
No. Oh, yes.
Over the top. See, we got it.
This is called All I Need Is You by Big Trouble.
Big Trouble. Wasn't that hard, just after we talked about it for a while.
You don't have a lot of ballads right now in music, do you?
Doesn't seem to be a lot of ballads these days. No.
I guess in country, but that's it. There's the 80s guitar solo. I don't know.
Well, why don't you write
one? Maybe we should write one, like Silk's Freak Me.
Is that the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, sir.
And there's a ballad in that?
Yep.
Haven't you pretty much gone through all the things you could possibly think of before you get around to making an arm wrestling movie? I mean, is that really something that the masses are clamoring to see?
I'm sure Big Al was a consultant on that movie.
He might have been.
Big Al's been sending him pictures of himself in a Clemson hat this morning. He's like Drake. He's like the Drake of St. Charles County. Iggy, what's going on over there?
He spilled that coffee again.
It's the second time you made me spit take in 2 days.
Well, I'm very talented. Seamaster says we have a large batch of emails already submitted. People want that Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots.
I want that Lemmings
lunch. Why wouldn't
what
you?
Is it again, Tim?
Single Hot Shots burger or double chili cheese Doug Dog with a side of TMA Hoth Tots. Any Lemming can order this meal for $6.99 Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill.
Can you imagine you're, like, let's say you go to the bar at Hot Shots and you right. say, I'll have the Lemmings lunch. Everyone looks at you and suddenly you're cool. That's what the cool kids
yeah.
get.
And all of a sudden, the half chicks want you.
Yep.
Manchild 79 says, Plastic Bag by Drake / Future is a beautiful ballad. And he's keeping it, Doug, 100.
And what does that mean exactly? He's keeping it 100. That means he's keeping it real. That means he's not lying to us. Everybody else is. If you don't say keeping it 100, does that mean you're lying?
You'll have to ask, Manchild.
Okay.
Maybe he'll call in.
He well, next
to our
time
last
I see
TMA live at Hot Shots.
Yeah, I met him.
What's up, Manchild?
Yeah. What's up, Tim?
Well, that fella, he keeps it to 100.
So we don't really know what that means because I see it on Twitter sometimes.
I see it too. I think it just means I'm really keeping it real. And that means I'm telling the truth. I don't know that it's necessary.
Mike Falk, friend of the show, tweeting this out 15 minutes ago. Mayor's office wants MLS to STL ballot prop to be less than $80 million. Didn't say how much less, but yet it's another blow. And then he screenshots this. Mayor's office spokeswoman Maggie Crane said the city had asked SCSTL to lower the $80 million request, but didn't say by how much. She said the proposal would need to be the best deal for taxpayers. The city would own the $200 million stadium and lease it to an MLS team, which would be responsible for cost overruns and maintenance for 30 years. That said, we do not yet have that agreement, Crane said. Hmm. That is the latest news regarding the MLS from Mike Falk, who is covering it for the Post-Dispatch.
We need a rich guy to play the role of hero here and step in.
Well, we've got some rich guys trying to make it happen now. This Edgerly out of Boston, he's supposedly a billionaire, right?
So throw another...
That's pretty rich.
Throw another $60 million in. Put the city on the hook for $20 million. Work it out.
Yeah, I'm sure to make it work, there'll have to be some give and take. Yeah, I hope it happens.
We could use a win.
Blues and Bruins tonight.
Aside from that, which the Blues will definitely win. Sorry, David Backus.
He's been hot.
You've been hot.
Manchild 79 says, word. You got it, Doug. Sup, Cat?
Now, word, that means you. That means the same thing? True?
You have to ask Manchild.
I used to hear people say, word, gee.
There's different. Like Vanilla Ice said, word to your mama. Word to your mother. And then he'd say, yup, yup, a lot.
Okay, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it does.
Unless you come up with a meaning on your own. Yup, yup, yup to your mama, that doesn't mean anything.
You would say yup, yup.
You can't just say anything and expect the rest of the world to know what you're talking about.
Try that. Hey, Doug, are you enjoying the show?
Yup, yup to your mama, word G.
Big. Eek! You see, you had a thing that you
What did it mean? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do a quick poll on the fan pin.
Of what?
How many of you women on the fan pin are bisexual?
Oh, probably all of them. It's probably unanimous.
Why do you call it the fan pin again?
Because that's what the cools say, and I'm obviously super cool.
Where did it derive? Fan pin. Did you just create that, or did another cool start it and you just...
Another cool. I rip off everything. I think we established that. Sometimes...
Who did a human ashtray?
Might have been Joe Stats. Creasy. I don't know. But everything really is essentially stolen from the 1996 film Swingers, which happened to be on last night. And Anna Marie and I were watching it at halftime of the Alabama-Clemson game. And she goes, God, I just realized everything that you talk about is taken from this movie. And I go,
like what?
What makes you say that, baby? Baby. And it's not intentional. And the film is 20 years old. And considering many in our audience are now in their 20s, they probably aren't even familiar with it.
Who was in it?
Vince Vaughn, John Favreau, Heather Graham.
It's a great movie. You never saw that?
No.
Come on over tonight. We'll watch it.
Well, I'm busy.
Probably Favreau's best work, I would say.
Think so?
It's a story of a struggling comedian in L.A. coming of age.
It's a nice way to sum it up, sir.
Yeah.
And they chase around beautiful babies. Babies.
And the one guy who seemed like he had the whole thing figured out in the end, you realize,
not
like
so
everyone
much.
Else, he doesn't have it figured out.
Oh, okay. He was
the
too
closing
shallow.
Scene where... He thinks this girl is sending him vibe, and she was just there with her child,
her
making
tyke.
Googly faces, not at this guy who thought everything was a come on to him.
Oh.
And that's when Favreau said, you know what? I'm going to be all right. He found a new love of his life.
Yep. Lorraine.
You didn't know.
Oh, like the quiche. You never heard that one before.
No.
And you didn't know it at the time, but you just knew wherever his career took him, he'd be okay being himself.
Yep. 1996, Doug.
Yeah,
why don't you and John Vaughn watch it tonight?
Well, I'm pressed for time.
Plus the Blues are on.
Right, I'll be at the hockey game tonight.
I realize the wording of the poll is questionable. How many of you women on the fan pin are bisexual? Yes? No?
Well, how many women? I thought you were asking all the guys.
That's arguing with yourself in a poll.
I'll post it anyway. What does it matter?
Yeah, it's kind of sexist.
They'll say it's great anyway, Tim. Best poll ever.
It's kind of sexist, though. You left the guys out of there.
Tony Doe will be very active because I left it open to add options. Tony Doe specializes in polls. Doug, who's on your Mount Rushmore of best ad-libbers in rap? I got to go Cube, Snoop, Cameron, and Larry June, who's way too new for your knowledge. That's Juan from PP Corp.
Mm. I'll go with Dougie Fresh, Notorious B.I.G., Snoop, and for Shizzle.
I'm not familiar with.
Well,
don't forget about my boy Drake.
Okay, Drake.
That was a Stedman-esque drop. Did you know, plow brew and rehearse this?
I'm going to throw Neil Sedaka in there because in that song,
wasn't
Bad Blood,
it was not
like
a rapper.
It was like sort of a rap feel to it.
It was not a rapper.
So we'll go Biggie, Neil Sedaka, Drake.
I don't think anyone would consider Neil Sedaka a rapper.
Well, you don't know anything about music.
I'm about to get paid in the Escalade.
Frank's done some rapping.
Eminem's pretty good.
Tim, I was watching Swingers at the same time, too. I feel so much cooler now. My day is way better. Thanks, Grimy South County.
I haven't seen that in a few years.
You want to come over watching?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Blues.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you go over to Timmy's cage?
Clip that off.
Yeah, I like being at home. Sorry.
He's invited you to go over and see the movie. You're not going to the picture. You're not going to the Blues game tonight.
Is that like getting an invite from the royal family? Like,
yeah, you don't turn it down.
Tim knows that Tuesdays I catch up on my caulking. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
You shouldn't have to caulk every week.
You got
to
keep up on it. Otherwise, you're going to get water penetration, Doug. You know that.
Yeah. If you're caulking properly, you don't need to do it every week. Never do any caulking at all. You own a caulking gun?
Doug, why don't you have this conversation with yourself?
You don't have a caulking gun, do you?
Doug, what do you think about a boy named Sue? Thanks. It's from 618.
Well, my daddy Johnny left Cash. Home when I was three. Didn't leave much for mom. He just this old guitar and empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Best biopic ever.
The beep-bop going on in the background.
I'm supporting Josh. Out of town supporting Josh. Yeah, I might as well support too.
Oh, Lord.
Walk the Line. Best biopic ever.
God, I love that movie.
That was a great movie.
I love that movie.
What'd you think of the picture?
I love that movie. Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon.
God, he looked like Johnny Cash when he did those facial expressions.
Boy, he was good. She was great.
Doug,
too.
Have you seen Walk the Line?
No, no.
God bless America. Let's watch Swingers and Walk the Line.
Yeah, you have to remember that I spent about 20 years of my life going to soccer practice, basketball practice, baseball practice. I did that for three kids from like 1994.
Yeah, but you could have brought your iPhone and watched the movies while you sat there.
No, I couldn't. Not
Doug, I got breaking news for you. You are not the first man in the history of the world to procreate.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right? People with kids still got to see Walk the Line. Ring of Fire.
Well, maybe they did, but I haven't spent the last 2 decades watching movies.
He was brilliant in that.
Folsom County.
Mm-hmm. There ain't no John Wayne's anymore, big boys.
Oh, that's right.
That's the old bootlegger's boy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ted Williams was the closest we had to John Wayne, I think, in real life. He kind of lived a swashbuckling type of John Wayne life.
I'm going to say Andy Samberg was...
I wouldn't say
John
that.
Wayne to a new generation.
Tatis?
Fernando Tatis as John Wayne? I don't see that at all.
John Wayne ever hit two grand slams in one inning?
What's your Mount Rushmore of current John Wayne?
Oh,
Samberg, Tatis.
Yeah, but then it gets tough.
Maybe Al Jarreau. And in the movie, they said, it sounds like a freight train.
And those prisoners were rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Took them forever to get out there.
Did it really?
You drink this water here, Warden?
Wonderful.
Just wanted his mom and dad's love and never happened.
Think about it.
Swingers or Walk the Line? Better movie.
Wow. Doug, two different genres.
Right. Seems like it.
God, I don't know. It's a mood thing. It's a mood thing. It's like, oh, I'm at Frass Play. No. But so then...
What?
Then you're probably not going to watch Veronica Avlov. So in that capacity, I guess I'll go Swingers. But man, if I'm not in the mood to laugh and I want to settle in and really get into a biopic, I don't know if there's anything better than Walk the Line. Ding, 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 ding.
It's like a freight train.
Some of the music now from it.
It's like a freight train.
You really wander around your house and say, boy, I'm really in the mood to settle in for a biopic. That happens?
Doug, come over tonight. We'll play Sega and make Gretzky's head bleed. It's from Bungie Donovan's Priest.
That was That was from Swingers.
Oh, that's odd.
And then when the guy came to deliver their food, they made fun of him, and I felt that was offensive.
I did, too.
It was out of the blue.
It did, too. It was anti-Indian.
It was just guys in their own little bubble.
Any Indian listeners? I don't think we do.
Yeah, we have the Indian who brought us the tomahawks.
Oh, that's the white guy from South City who calls himself the Apache.
He's part Indian.
I'm talking about the nation.
I got that thing sitting on my kitchen counter. My wife is like, what are we going to do with this thing? And I don't really know. Like, I don't want to throw it away.
Mount it.
I'm not going to mount it.
Mr. Sammy is shared by me and the Apache.
Yeah. Put it on your wall somewhere.
Guys, Johnny Cash had a threesome, but it was the less popular MFF. Who's Johnny Cash's threesome with?
How the hell would I know?
Bud Fox said, I took a sick day to listen to you today. Bad decision.
Mm.
I think he did have a couple of chicks that he picked up after a concert.
How would you know
he was
this?
Back in the hotel. I'm talking about the movie. I don't know if he ever did. I saw him in Vegas or in Jamaica one time.
Guys, there are no Indian listeners because they've all been blocked from the fan page.
Probably so.
One from PP Corp just shipped the text of the day. It's a very good observation. Maybe there are a lot of guys in India who want to listen, and I just assume they're bots and block them. And I think that might be racist.
I think it could be.
Guys, Favreau also wrote and produced that Swingers flick. Thanks, the Minuteman.
Yeah, he's talented. Kind of bugs me. Some people were blessed with talent, could go in a number of different directions with their careers, acting, writing, producing, directing. What can we do?
Nothing. We kind of stalled out at a rather low level.
Argue about who's the consigliere and godfather.
He had a pretty nice arc in The Sopranos.
Excuse me?
Favreau. When Christopher decided he wanted to write a movie about gangsters, and Favreau was the producer-director
really,
that his chick
right. I forgot about that.
Set him up with.
Doug, you remember that?
No. No.
You never seen The Sopranos, have you?
I saw some of The Sopranos, a little of it.
What a program. Iggy Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Christopher's girlfriend had that.
Probably Sopranos, only because I enjoy that kind of genre better. Gangster, mobsters, more than dragons and three-eyed ravens.
Hottest woman from those three shows, go.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
That's all he cares about.
Yeah, he's a fan of hers.
Christopher's girlfriend had that internal issue, that kind of...
Yeah, bowel syndrome.
No.
At the end, so they killed her.
Because of that? I don't think that was the reason.
Yeah. Well, if you,
she had irritable bowel syndrome?
Yeah.
And they whacked her because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. She might have told the cops about Christopher's movie and The Sopranos and what's going on, but get rid of her because she keeps farting.
Yeah, right there in the car.
Really? That was going on? I guess I blocked that out.
They didn't come out and say it, but if you're a fan of dialogue, there's nuances there that gave you that impression. Yeah.
That she was, like, that's a thing if you have that? Yep. What did she have?
It was another form of irritable bowel movement, bowel syndrome, where she just kept taking dumps and farting.
Oh,
you know, remember that one show where Jimmy Two Times was going to go get the papers, and they said
Goodfellas,
and they said take Christopher's girlfriend, and that's when the plot to whack her came about. Because
Christopher, hey Stinky. He called her Stinky. Mm. She got upset.
Who did that?
Christopher Moltisanti.
Mm.
What's up, Stinky? It's not funny, Christopher. It's a disease.
Yeah, those mobsters aren't that sensitive.
Mm.
Like we are.
Right.
I just finished watching for the second time because I was running out of stuff to watch, so I watched Sons of Anarchy. She had a pretty nice role in that. She played the drug addict ex-wife.
So you watched Sons of...
No. No.
Oh, that's a fabulous show.
Yeah, well, I missed it.
Well, it's on Netflix.
I don't get that Netflix.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
Just cable.
Guys, Frasier's wife in real life had IBS. Thanks, Stephen Wildwood.
Interesting. Well, we've covered all the topics when we're right down to figuring out who does and who does not have irritable bowel syndrome.
Clip that off.
We've covered everything, apparently.
I just think people that have it, people should be sensitive to it and not call them stinky or try to kill them. I said it.
I didn't know that that was one of the byproducts of the disease.
Yeah, I don't know that for certain. I'm just going based on what Iggy said. But it doesn't seem like it'd be a great thing to be afflicted with.
No.
Well, I think little Steven was going to let her out of the car, and she just kept farting in the car, and he said, that's it, get out, and put a bullet in her head.
Oh, wow.
He was probably going to let her go.
Just for crop dusting.
How does your bowel get irritable?
Do we need to have a doctor on the air, maybe?
Maybe Howard Balzer knows.
Howard Balzer is on the line.
I believe he originally was a pre-med student
on the Appliances County phone lines. Morning, Howard.
What can you tell
us? Good morning.
What can you tell us about irritable bowel syndrome?
I I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I can understand why, yeah, certainly it would be an issue. And I'll tell you, there's no better subject than I'd prefer to follow than that. But, you know, I would guess maybe Nick Saban perhaps has, you know, a little of that last night and this morning and you know, and all those things. But yeah, it can be difficult to live with. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah. I think you said a mouthful there, Howard.
Howard, you were high on Clemson last night, weren't you?
You know, I certainly figured that it should be a great game. And what I found interesting about it is that in this microwave world where we always want to make evaluations and reach conclusions many times way too early, whether it's the fourth game of a team season or in a game or whatever. And I found it comical that in that first half, when things weren't looking good for Clemson, and there were people, and sometimes Twitter is a great thing to avoid, but you know, there were people on Twitter, and I'm not just talking about fans, I'm talking about media people who were already burying Clemson, saying they have no heart, their leader has no heart, that this team is in trouble.
That was
Game
Skip
is
Bayless.
Over.
That was Skip Bayless.
Yeah, it was. It totally was. And I tweeted just a little reminder that yesterday in the game between the Packers and the Giants, before the final drive of the first half that resulted in the Packers' Hail Mary touchdown, Aaron Rodgers was 8-for-17 for 90 yards. And we know what he did afterward. So I basically just said, you know, the logical thing, and that is, hey, there's a lot of football to be played. Let the game play out before pronouncements and evaluations are made. And it was moments after I tweeted that Clemson went down the field and scored to cut the 2-touchdown lead to 1, and then I just wrote, as I was saying, .. And of course, then there were those who were saying, oh, so you're comparing – you know, Deshaun Watson to Aaron Rodgers. I said, no, I wasn't comparing them at all. I was just talking about the point of, hey, let a game play out. Let a season play out. Any of those things. But I know that it's impossible to change the way some people are. But, boy, was that an impressive performance by a kid that you find it hard to believe that the Cleveland Browns won't pick him first overall and have him to build that franchise around.
I thought it was an impressive coaching performance, too, from Clemson, because it would have been easy for that team to fall apart after you're down 14-0. And then when you need 21 points in the fourth quarter to win against Alabama, there was a lot going on the sideline that they were doing right.
No doubt about it. And I think a big part of it, Doug, is that it's a team that's very confident, obviously, in what they have and what they can accomplish. And let's remember early in that game when that great receiver Williams was knocked out for a bit, that certainly affected what they were able to do on offense. And the way he came back from that hit and all that to play the way he did was certainly a big part of their comeback. And the other thing, too, is that can't be overlooked. You know, we tend to sometimes try to compartmentalize football and just say, you know, the defense is this, the offense is this, and all that. And everyone was saying, well, I mean, look at the Alabama defense. You know, Clemson ran 99 plays. And so they couldn't stop him, which was certainly part of it. But the flip side is that, for the most part, Clemson shut down the Alabama offense, and they were awful on third down. And so that led to the opportunity for Clemson to have the ball as much as they did. And so that defense, I mean, when you're on the field for 99 plays and for that long, then you're it's going to affect you. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and certainly it did. But, it, you know, again, it just shows how what happens on offense affects defense and vice versa, special teams, field position, you know, all that. I remember at halftime, Dabo Swinney, the head coach, he was asked about the first half, and he said, hey, we've really been affected by bad field position in the first half. Well, that field position was a lot better in the second half, and it certainly helped them do what they did, especially in the fourth quarter. But, you know, like you said, adversity is what the great ones are able to bounce back from. And that is as important, especially for a quarterback, is as important as arm strength and decision-making and all those things. Obviously, those aspects are crucial. But to be able to not have it affect you too much when bad times come, whether it's in a game, whether it's, you know, in a couple games in a season, whatever it is, to be able to bounce back from that is what truly, I believe, separates the great ones from everybody else. And that's why it's pretty hard to imagine that Watson won't be an excellent pro, whatever team he ends up on.
On the other side of that, I just felt like once Scarborough went down, obviously that changed the game plan, and Hurts wasn't doing well throwing the ball. I felt like Alabama, and I'm not trying to be overly critical. I just felt like they had the lead and they were too passive on a lot of those third downs. Hurts just ran out of bounds or threw it away, didn't try to turn it upfield. And I know they were trying to avoid letting Clemson back in the game, but they would, you know, punt away. And I think their defense got tired, and I think that paid a price in the final quarter.
No doubt, Jim. That's a great point about Scarborough, because we've seen what he's capable of and what he did in that game with the explosive play. And what he did in that game to help Alabama score points, obviously, and not having him certainly did affect what they were doing on offense and contributed to the drive failures and all that. And of course, I mean, to hear Alabama fans is kind of hilarious, you know, blaming Nick Saban and looking at the offensive coordinator. I mean, heck, this quarterback wasn't very good the previous game either. So, you know, that has to be looked at. And so it goes well beyond what the offensive coordinator and who it was in that game. It's all about personnel. And like you said, your game plan is affected when you don't have a great player on the field and a potential game breaker like Scarborough. And that then affects the way the defense plays you when he's not on the field.
There was a time when a Dabo Swinney gets to the national championship game in back-to-back years, we'd all wonder, well, where's he going now? What NFL team's he going? What college team? He probably doesn't need to go anywhere, does he? I mean, he's got it rolling right where he's at.
Well, absolutely. I mean, why would you want to go anywhere? I mean, you know, one aspect, of course, is that he in that conference, you don't necessarily have a gauntlet that you have to run to be able to put together a really good record. And now that you've built it up the way it is, recruiting certainly can't be very difficult to get a lot of the cream of the crop that you're going after. And so, I don't know, unless there's a wanderlust to go to a quote, bigger time program. But he said it last night. You know, someone was talking about elite. He says, hey, we're among the elite. And I don't think there's any doubt that they are, even given some would argue that the competition isn't that great during the regular season. But hey, you still got to win what's in front of you, and what they've done in the postseason, you know, shows, you know, just how quality of a program they are, and the quality players they're able to attract.
In the NFL, the playoff game I'm looking forward to watching the most is Green Bay at Dallas. Which one are you?
No doubt about it. I mean, that should be. I kind of am very intrigued by Pittsburgh and Kansas City. That game's earlier on Sunday, so I think Sunday should be tremendous. And, you know, Seattle, Atlanta should be very interesting. Can the Seahawks play as good on the road as they do at home? But no doubt, with the Cowboys and all the hype around them, and Elliott and Prescott, as hot as Aaron Rodgers is, and as good as they're playing, that should be a shootout. Now we often know that games don't turn out the way we think they might, but It's hard to imagine that both teams won't score in the 30s in this game, and that it could very well go back and forth between them with what they're capable of doing. Now, having said all that, as good as all the other guys are on the field with Aaron Rodgers, not having Jordy Nelson, you wonder how much that's going to affect him. And, you know, Jordy Nelson was pretty good in the first 10 games of the season, but not like he was in the final six when they were winning. And I think it took him probably, you know, around that long to really feel recovered from the knee injuries, not only from last season that caused him to miss the whole year, but then he had another one right before training camp that took him a while to get back from. So it's hard to imagine him playing in this game, and even if he does, that he would be effective. So it'll be interesting to see how much, in fact, that he does, if it, how much he affects that Packers offense, going against a defense that's been playing a lot better and a defense that, that remains fresh. We were just talking about Alabama and how they were affected by the offense not moving the ball. That Cowboys defense is helped by the fact that the Cowboys offense is able to control the ball with the run. They're one of the top teams in the league in time of possession, so their defense is on the field less than everybody else. And so that's what, like you said, Jim, that's what makes this a very, very intriguing matchup on Sunday. Quickly on that Chiefs-Pittsburgh game, I mean, the way Le'Veon Bell is running and going against the Chiefs defense that's very good but doesn't have Derek Johnson at inside linebacker, and that's going to be a challenge for them on what they're going to try to devise to keep Le'Veon Bell down, because he's been unbelievable in this stretch for the Steelers. The Steelers are as hot as Green Bay, with the Packers having won now 7 in a row, counting the playoff game. Steelers have won 8 in a row, counting their playoff wins. So I think that one in raucous Arrowhead is going to be quite a fun game to watch on Sunday also.
You hearing anything about the Rams coaching search? And is Les Snead safe, or will he get the boot also?
The way the search is developing, Doug, with these assistant coaches, he might end up being safe. What it could come down to, and what's very important, if you're a head coach or a head coach in waiting, I should say, and being interviewed for these jobs, especially when you're in a good situation where you are, a lot of times you have to be very mindful of the organization you're going to and what your comfort level is with the personnel staff and the people in charge, like the Les Snead of the world and all those guys. And that's why a lot of times these coaches want the control over the personnel, saying that, hey, if I'm going to go down, I want it to go down with the guys that I choose, not somebody else. Well, a lot of assistant coaches don't have that, you know, that ability to want that or to get that power. And so does a Kyle Shanahan, for example, want that in whatever team he would end up going to if, in fact, he does leave the Falcons? And one guy that a lot of people are saying they're honing in on is a guy who wasn't even in the playoffs, is Sean McVay, the offensive coordinator of the Redskins. Well, probably he's not going to be a guy who's going to come in with all these demands. So is that the type of guys that the Rams are truly looking at? Because I have to believe that, again, whoever it is, when they're talking to people, they want to have a comfort level, not only with the GM and the personnel staff, but with the rest of the organization. And you know, look at some of the decisions they've made on contracts and people they've signed that have put them in a jam, you know, like Tavon Austin and like Mark Barron. Nice player, but he never should have gotten the money that he got. So anyone coming in wants to feel comfortable with all those things, and I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of that aspects of the Rams that these guys are going to question.
John Gruden's name being tossed around at all for that job?
We don't hear it anymore. And there was a lot of chatter about it, just like there was chatter about Sean Payton. And that's quieted and silenced. And so I don't know if the Rams reached out to Gruden and he just basically said, no, I'm really not interested. Because he had to believe that if he was, they'd be talking to him very seriously and they wouldn't be wasting a lot of time on all these other guys. They just say, hey, they just get him in there so he can start hiring the staff. And so I would, at this point, I would be surprised if that happened, because it's certainly, like I said, the direction that the Rams are going by who they're interviewing seems pretty apparent.
Howard Balzer with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Howard, we'd like to tell the audience about your sponsors, sir.
Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness, a great place to go to take care of any aches and pains, whatever it is you might be experiencing. Try chiropractic before you get into pain shots and injections, you know, narcotics in terms of drugs. They have natural supplements there that can help in a lot of ways. And they have a 590 special going on. If you mention 590, a $97 evaluation you can have for $59. And the state-of-the-art technology that they have there at Metro Chiropractic is second to none. So, again, give them a call, 567-7300. Don't forget to mention 590. And Dr. Rob and his great staff will take care of you. They've done wonders for my wife. They can do wonders for you as well.
Howard Balzer with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, talking college football playoff and the NFL playoffs this weekend as well. Thanks, Howard.
All right, Howard.
Take care. Have a good
Paul's with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Doug, that's where we are right now. We are going to be at Hot Shots on Dorset Thursday night for TMA Live, but Gateway Buick GMC Studios is where we are at this particular moment, and Gateway has 38 service bays to take great care of you, and Gateway also has an incredible selection of new and used cars as well. It's at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC, a loyal sponsor of this award-winning radio presentation. We're very grateful for their support. It is Gateway Buick GMC. We also have this going on now in our Inside STL video.
What?
It's the KFNS High School Athlete of the Week.
Oh,
just started that up.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of high school interest out there, and we want to continue to grow our video presence on InsideSTL.com. And as I mentioned, Hannah Ray and Cam are going to be interviewing David Backus this morning. We'll have that up for you. But we also have the KFNS High School Athlete of the Week. Just started this week. Each week, nominees are posted on InsideSTL.com, and you can vote on which player deserves the honor. This week's nominees range from Jericho Helms at Chaminade, Kelly McLaughlin at St. Joseph's Academy, Sarah and Katie Nelson at St. Dominic, Javon Pickett at Belleville East, and Torrance Watson at Whitfield. It's the KFNS High School Athlete of the Week, presented by Baker Exteriors, a locally owned and operated remodeling company, an All-Star Trophy Quality Award since 1971. The KFNS High School Athlete of the Week. Go vote on InsideSTL.com. Doug, another sponsor that we just got on board, and some of the crew from Safe Trek was in attendance on Thursday at Kirkwood Brewhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Safe Trek. And I think this is a great idea.
It's a little app that gives you your own little personal security device. In emergencies, dialing 911 isn't always possible. And if you're unable to talk, help can't always find you. Thankfully, with the Safe Trek app, anyone can get police sent to their exact location at just the push of a button. No talking required. Safe Trek is the 911 of the digital age. It's built for the smartphone era, and it works 24/7, 365, everywhere in the U.S. Give yourself peace of mind knowing the people you care about are safe. Download it today from the App Store or email info@safetrekapp.com for family and business plans. Again, that's SafeTrek, S-A-F-E-T-R-E-K, SafeTrekApp.com. Get it today. It's basically an app. You hold your finger down on the app itself, and if you let your finger up and then you don't respond to it, the police will come to your exact location.
It's good for kids that are out there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm told there are businesses downtown or people that have to park in parking garages or have to take a walk at night after work or something. There, a lot of businesses are now giving this to their employees as like a perk so that they can feel a little bit safer. Safe Trek is the name of the company. Download that app. You'll be glad you did.
Someone texted the show that Nick Saban is overrated is the latest tweet from Skip Bayless.
That's awesome take. I'm going to go watch that show where he yells at Shannon Sharpe.
And just keep in mind, he's getting $4 or $5 million a year to do that.
Yeah. And got a signing bonus. And don't get me wrong, I think FS1 is great. But I've never seen that show just because I'm doing other things. But there's a woman that's on the panel, and in the promos, she's just in the background. You never hear her speak. I've never seen what is the role for her. Have you seen that show?
No, I don't watch that. Sorry.
Don't say it like you're better than
Well, I him. Just don't. Sorry.
I'll have FS1 on sometimes in my office during the day. I don't necessarily have the volume on in Colin Cowherd's show.
I like him.
I do, too.
I do like Colin Cowherd.
But it's transparent contrarianism, which is kind of like what Twitter has breeded. You know what I mean?
The times I've listened to him, I always kind of found him entertaining.
It's just like everybody's saying this, but they're wrong and I'm right because the Texans are the team that will win the Super Bowl.
We'll explain next.
And then, you know, you can just lay out a case, and if it's a monologue, you know, you can present the case. Oh, that's provoking. And then 1 out of 20 times it hits. Don't get me wrong. I recognize that he's talented. My point is his co-host is not only absurdly beautiful, but incredibly intelligent and talented. And I guess she's on a variety of programs. It's Kelly Leahy. Is that right, Iggy? I feel like you would know.
That one I'm not familiar
really?
With.
Really? Kristen Leahy?
I've seen her on the promos, but I've never seen the show.
You think she's more attractive than Shannon Sharpe?
Didn't say that.
All right.
Christine Leahy. Boston College, I believe. I mean,
I have no idea where she went to school.
Stunning. Holy moly.
You think she was a classmate of Doug Flutie's.
I don't believe so.
Not because he's 50 something at this point.
Right.
Well, she could be 50 something. You know, they do a lot with makeup.
Maybe she dated Gerald Phelan.
Oh yeah, he caught the pass in 84. Mm-hmm. Doug, was that game in Miami? Were you covering it?
Yeah, I was.
You covered that game?
I was in the press box. Yeah.
Holy moly.
Your life was much better when you lived there.
Well, there was more sports going on, that's for sure. But my life wasn't better because Miami is the ultimate nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there.
But you were running around with
what about that game?
Children.
It was fantastic game. I jumped right out of the press box like everybody else. Everybody at home, I'm sure, did the same thing.
Did you run down on the field and get a one-on-one with Flutie?
No.
Phelan?
No. I had a one-on-one with Flutie before the game.
You
when
did?
When they were in town, yeah. At the hotel. We went to the hotel.
How about that Phelan? Do you think you guys might hook up?
No, I didn't say that. Didn't have the foresight to say that.
Were you as good as Rinaldi was last night when he said, you have a lot of emotion on your face. Why is that? He just won the national championship, you moron.
Doug, before I do email today, Burley Cutlery is title sponsor of that Burley Cutlery Cuts of the Week.
Well, Chop Chop Cheeky is what comes to mind when you talk about Bertarelli, because a lot of us have swords, we have scissors, we have knives, we've got cleavers.
This is a double entendre festival.
And they become dull over time, and you're thinking, well, I guess I can't use this anymore.
Nice.
And the answer is, yes, you can. You got to go to Bertarelli to sharpen it. Anything in your kitchen, they can work on and make it perform better. Anything. The food prep equipment, the knives, everything you've got, you can go to Bertarelli, and they will make it better. And they've been doing this for forever down there on the hill.
What about a steak knife?
A steak knife, yes. Yeah. Ginsu, absolutely. Yes.
Sorry.
They have a wide array of sharpening solutions, even for the professional kitchen. This is why restaurants and hotels all over town send their knives to Bertarelli to have them sharpened up. And you can do that with your own knives. Or you can go to the retail area in front of the store and buy all new. They've got everything you could possibly want. So go visit the Hill. Check out their showroom. If you mention this presentation, you receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase.
Five.
That makes it worth the trip. A $5 in-store purchase. That makes a trip worthwhile. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, where there's never a dull moment.
By the way, an update on the poll I posted on the fan pin. How many of you women on the fan pin are bisexual? Yes or no? And yes is winning.
Probably unanimous, right?
No, it's a lot of guys, unfortunately, who are voting yes.
You can tell.
Yes, because I see their names and oftentimes their picture of their kids too.
Oh, that's nice. You think their kids know this?
Hey, man, you know what? You know what I say? I'm pro-human nature.
Because we said a couple weeks ago that a lot of the dads go to the soccer games to try to get lucky with other dads. Maybe we're seeing this playing out right in front of our face now.
Well, that was kind of your theory, wasn't it?
Wasn't my theory at all.
I got to do the Hot Shots email today, and I got to do it well. Lemming's Lunch on the line from Hot Shots. Morning, boys. Breaking news from TMZ. Kristen Bell has leaked that she borrowed her Golden Globes butt pads from KMOV sports jockey Doug Vaughn. This has sent ripples through the man-ass community. DaddyBear.com is even considering vacating Vaughn's 2016 Ass of the Year award. My advice to Doug, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everybody's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be the guy in the rated X movie who gets man love sprayed on his chest.
No,
you're a bad man.
No.
You're a bad man. Toodles, Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four.
Awful.
It's like a callback to Swingers there, just a subtle.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
Vile, but a decent callback.
Guys, Plops here. I try again to quit you guys so I can listen to one of those zany morning shows on the FM dial, but they just aren't talking about the things that matter to me. Things that are relevant to me in the current state of my life in these United States of America. Things like Skeeter from Mama's Family, Vincent from Mama's Family, wiping your tuchus with a t-shirt after you drop ass in the shower, and videos of big fat Hoosiers with Jezebel running around in their bodies like the Dickens. It's live, it's local, it's in-your-face coverage of the issues that matter. It's 590 The Man. Visit our website that hasn't been updated in 7 months to register for your chance to win a trip to the Super Bowl with the Big Rig, a middle-aged man who has recently taken photos of himself topless on his side profile in the bedroom on the internet. Thanks. Doug, that's from Misty Plops, assistant program director.
Misty Plops, assistant program director.
Hey, guys, just wondering what you thought would be the most demeaning size of breast have drawn on your back.
Big ones.
I know you may say bigger would be worse, but imagine having like a small B or an A cup set drawn on your back and then having to prance around topless at an upcoming family barbecue. Lots of disappointed looks from Grandma Hazel and Grandpappy Paul, if you catch my drift. Thanks for the time. Doug, that's from the old mud boot.
The old mud boot.
Boy, some of these are long. I mean, they just really are.
That's okay, well, maybe
not the way
them.
To get the...
Edit them a little bit.
Well, this one's from Doug's Lil Hole Boy.
What?
Doug's Lil Hole Boy.
He's new.
Dear Doug, longtime listener, first-time emailer, and I will get straight to the point. I'm a sugar baby and currently in the market for a good sugar daddy. And yes, my juice is worth the squeeze. My only prerequisites are as follows. Number one, kind. Number two, smart. Number three, wide base. Number four, nice ass. Number five, must be prepared to top or bottom. Hit me that DM if interested. Thanks, Doug's Lil Hole Boy.
Not a good email.
You have a lot of patience today, Doug.
Hey, Tim, could you ask the cat, and I mean coach, if Clemson did a better job of following the BP game plan? Seemed like Alabama just didn't look like they filled up on enough food and snacks. I mean, look at these guys. They're really thick like Doug. That comes from Miso Sawi.
They could have used a little Cajun sweet influence last night.
Finally, morning, gents. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed Doug's breakdown of that ref's pipes and finding out from Iggy that about 60% of men over 70 are looking to be platonic sugar daddies for SEC co-eds who then tithe the money to someone else. But the real important news came around 8:15 this morning when Plowsy informed us that he did, in fact, get toilet paper so you could cross it off the bucket list. Jesus, Plowsy, I know microwave tomb pizza and ham sammies in bed are a delicacy for you, but you should really aspire to more with your life than wiping your toot sleeve before you die. Pro tip from a wiping rookie, go with TP Wet Wipe. TP. You'll be fresh as the day you were born. Stay cute. Doug, that's the big boss of North County.
Big boss, North County.
The email of the day. Hot shots. Email of the day.
I had put down Misty and Jamie Foyer's Fancy Foyer, and I think I got to go with Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
He was vile there at the end.
A little vile.
I'm going to go with the old mud boot.
I'm going old mud boot as well, as a matter of fact.
Old mud boot, you've just shipped the hot shots email of the day. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano
and the Hollywood Casino press box for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway BOGMC Studios.